Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
In the endless reaches of the universe, there once existed a planet known as Krypton, a planet that burned like a green star in the distant heavens. There, civilization was far advanced and had brought forth a race of supermen whose mental and physical powers were developed to the absolute peak of human perfection. But there came a day when giant quakes threatened to destroy Krypton forever. One of the planet's leading scientists, sensing the approach of doom, placed his infant son in a small rocket ship and sent it hurtling in the direction of the Earth just as Krypton exploded.
From Steven or Else Media, this is Season 1 of The Comic Book Show, Episode 6, The Haunting.
What is your favorite thing in the world?
Comics.
Yes.
Comics!
No, wait, tell me about comics.
Hello and welcome to The Comic Book Show, the podcast that's a show about comics. I'm your host, my name is Steven, and I think it's about time we brought the cape back. Not the show, but the article of clothing that one typically wears around the neck to billow about in the wind as it cascades down your back. I mean, I have a cape, and it is spectacular. But whenever I wear it out in public, people give me funny looks. I don't know, I just think of someone cool like Matt Damon or Morgan Freeman or maybe even Oprah. You know, if they were out there wearing capes in public, that maybe it would quickly become one of the more accepted and popular fashion accessories of our time. That way, when I wear mine out to the swimming pool, people would stop pointing and laughing and making me cry and stuff. But hey, we aren't here today to talk about fashion, despite how fantastic I look in a cape. No, today we're wrapping up Season 1 and our look at the first ever top-to-bottom reboot of Superman with The Man of Steel issue number 6. This hit the stands on September 25th, 1986. It sold for just 75 cents, and the title of the story is The Haunting. It was written and penciled by John Byrne, Dick Giordano was the inker, the letters were by John Costanza, and the colors were by Tom Zuko. Clark returns to Smallville and begins having visions of his birth parents on Krypton. Clark realizes for the first time that he is an alien and was not conceived on Earth. He also discovers that the rocket ship that brought him to Earth is missing. Evidence shows that it was taken from its secret location within the last 6 months. While learning about his origins, Clark is reunited with Lana Lang, who has also recently returned to Smallville.
Say hello to Lana Lang.
Clark told Lana about his powers just before he left Smallville years earlier. Lana reveals to Clark that she was deeply hurt when Clark left and has only recently made peace with her emotions for him. Okay, so before we get into the issue itself, I have a little something that we need to discuss.
Why? What did I do?
As I revealed in episode number 1, the bulk of these episodes were recorded back in 2023 to be used for a podcast called Superman or Else.
Or Else what?
Well, to clarify things a bit more, those bits were, or are, I guess, the deep dive bits of each of these episodes. You know, the section of the episode where I go through the issue page by page as I tell you in detail what happened in the book and, of course, give you all my thoughts and junk. Well, as I've been putting these episodes together for the comic book show and I've been listening to the deep dive bits, I couldn't help but pick up on the many mistakes that I made throughout.
Well, that doesn't totally surprise me.
Usually these were grammatical in nature, and so rather than trying to fix those mistakes, I just left them in, despite how much it made my brain itch. But to be honest, fixing stuff like that at this point, nearly a year later, well, it's not an easy thing to do. So I ignored how it made me feel up there in my brain, and I left it all as is. With this one, however, those mistakes weren't just grammatical. I said a few things that just were not true, not on purpose. I either didn't know any better or I just misspoke. But I just can't let that kind of stuff slide. So as the rest of this episode plays out, whenever I say something that I feel needs to be corrected, I'm going to jump on in and correct it. Just like that. These corrections won't be hard to miss, however, because I will literally break into the audio and will use this sound both before and after I do so. So yeah, hopefully that won't lessen your enjoyment of the episode, but it has to be done. I have no choice in the matter. I mean, I do, but then again, I don't. Anyway, here's the deep dive, which, as always, we'll start with a look at the cover. All right, so on the left side of the cover, as we've had for the previous five issues, we get a scene from within the issue, and that's Superman first seeing his Kryptonian father, Jor-El, who has appeared to him as a hologram, or I'll just call it a force ghost, even though it's a hologram. Then on the right side of the issue, we see the character who makes a debut in this issue, which in this case is Lana Lang, who actually made her debut in the first issue. So I think this is the first time we have a character there on the right side of the cover that actually made their debut in a earlier issue. Wow, that didn't take long, did it? So yeah, what I just said wasn't correct. This is not the first issue where we have someone over there on the right-hand side of the cover that actually showed up in an earlier issue. Issue number two had Lois Lane on the right side with a subtitle that said Introducing Lois Lane. And, well, Lois actually first appeared in issue number one. She was on the space plane, remember? Also, issue four has Lex Luthor there on the right side when technically he made an appearance in issue two, though he is, in fact, just in two panels, and we never actually see his face. All in all, for the final issue of this miniseries, it's a fairly boring cover.
This is boring. Delete.
The issue itself opens up with Clark as Superman returning to Smallville. He flies over the town super fast so no one can see him. And then also super fast, he lands at the bus station, changes back into Clark, and just mixes in with people coming off of a bus from Kansas City. His parents are there to meet him, Jonathan and Martha. His little trick there to make people think that he was getting off the bus from Kansas City was obviously not for his parents. They know who he is, but they're there to meet him and take him back to the farm. And I mean, he could have flown to the farm, and I think he does do that in the future. I don't really know why he had to make this whole business about him making it look like he got off of a bus, because I know that in the future he'll just fly to the farm, and he does so fast that nobody sees. So I don't understand the point of this, but it does allow Clark to have this car ride or truck ride with his parents, all three of them sitting in the cab of this old truck. And Clark's asking how things have been, and Martha is giving him the updates from Smallville. For example, Mary Ellen Anderson had twins a week back. And when Jonathan kind of cuts in to give a bit of news, Martha elbows him in the stomach. So he's about to say, mind you, there is one thing we didn't tell. Oh, that's when she elbows him. Clark asks, Pa? And Jonathan just returns with, nothing, son. It'll keep. So then we get to the farm and we get this panel where Clark is sitting at the table with his ma and his pa. It looks like they have just finished eating dinner and they're now eating rhubarb pie. Martha is, of course, being the woman, clearing the table while Jonathan and Clark sit and enjoy her pie, because apparently women are not allowed to sit at the table with their men. And so that made me cringe just a little bit. But Clark is sitting there at this table with just, you know, a polo shirt on and some slacks, no shoes. He's got his socks on. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the true person. This is the true Clark Kent, the true Superman, the true Kal-El. I mean, one of the things that I hear a lot about Superman is, which version of him is the real person? Is he Clark Kent? And is Superman the costume?
What Kent wears, the glasses, the business suit, that's the costume.
Or is Superman the real person and Clark Kent is the costume? And I think, at least as of this Byrne reboot, I can't speak for any Silver Age stories, I think that both Clark Kent, the Clark Kent that he is in public, like when he's at the Daily Planet and he's hanging out with Lois and Jimmy and Perry White, I think that's a costume. I think when he's Superman and he's battling bad guys and he's giving press conferences and he's shaking hands and rescuing babies and blah, 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 I think that's a costume. This guy here with his shoes off, eating some rhubarb pie with his parents, that is the real person. That is the real Clark Kent. And one of the ways that Byrne characterizes this is when he is in his Clark Kent costume, his hair is all slicked back and he's wearing glasses. When he is Superman, he has the spit curl. He's not wearing glasses, of course, and he's wearing the Superman costume. But here, he's wearing regular clothes. He's not wearing the glasses, and he has the spit curl. So this is like the only time that he can truly be himself, is when he is around people who know his secret. He doesn't have to act like, well, he's not quite bumbling as Clark Kent in these issues. But like in the Golden Age Superman, because I've been reading a lot of Golden Age Superman over the last year, that Clark Kent is a real wiener. He's mild-mannered. He's a coward. And then Superman is this big, strong, bohunk, meathead kind of guy. The Clark Kent post-crisis here is much more confident. He's not bumbling. He doesn't trip. He doesn't stammer and get embarrassed easily. And he's not a weakling and a coward. But he does, I guess, act maybe a little naive. I don't know. But this here, this Superman, this Clark Kent, this guy who's hanging out with his parents, that is the real person. And I think it's really the only time in these books that we see who he really is. It's either moments where he's all alone or moments when he's with his parents, which is kind of sad. You know, he can only truly be himself when he's either alone or when he's with his parents, or really anybody who knows his secret. And at this point, it's just Jonathan and Martha Kent and Lana Lang.
Say hello to Lana Lang.
So as they're sitting around the table, or at least Jonathan and Clark are sitting around the table while Martha apparently waits on them hand and foot, Jonathan asks Clark about Lois. Apparently, Clark has been sending letters home since he moved to Metropolis. And since working for the Daily Planet, he has mentioned Lois in most, if not every one of the letters that he has sent home. So his pa, Jonathan, is not a stupid man and realizes that Clark is sweet on her, as he puts it. And Clark, I guess he is kind of dumb because he didn't realize he was being so transparent, but he explains that, yeah, he likes her a lot. But unfortunately, since he stole that Superman story out from under her or beat her to the story, that she does not like him all that much. His mom, being his mom, of course, just is confused about the fact that any woman would not be in love with him.
Who wouldn't love you?
But Clark then kind of gets a bit depressed and talks about the reason why he put on the costume was so that he could go out and help people without it interfering with his private life. But what kind of private life does he have? Or at least he feels his private life is not complete because he does not have someone in it like Lois, someone that he can share his life with other than his mom and his dad. I wanna know what love is. so that night he's in bed and he can't sleep, and he goes downstairs to get some more pie, and he's a little worried because he knows that earlier in the truck, his dad was going to tell him something and that his mom cut him off, and he's wondering what his dad was going to tell him, and he can't even imagine that it doesn't. He finds it unimaginable that they might have a secret that they're hiding from him. And it's as he's getting the pie from the fridge that he turns, and there is the hologram of Jor-El standing there in the kitchen, which scares the shit out of Clark, and he drops the pie on the floor as Jor-El is speaking to Clark. But Clark can't understand him because Jor-El is speaking in the Kryptonian language. And Clark even mentions that his super senses don't detect anything but empty air. He can see the guy, he can hear the guy, but every other sense is telling him that there's nothing actually there. Well, the hologram of Jor-El then reaches out and touches Clark on the forehead, and Clark freaking just passes out. I mean, there's this panel where it looks like he's about to do a header into the ground, and there's these different colored bubbles around him and different sparkly stars. And this is the moment in the movie that I feel like we'd hear Magic Carpet Ride from Lynyrd Skynyrd or Purple Haze from Jimi Hendrix, you know, like he's suddenly going on a bad trip. But by the next panel, he's picking himself up off the floor. He's now suddenly in his Superman costume. And as he's speaking, he's going in and out of both English and the Krypton language. And he stands up and he realizes he's no longer in the kitchen. He realizes he's got his costume on, and around him are Kryptonians, and they run from him, and he's chasing them. No, don't run away from me. Tell me where I am. And it's at that point that he steps out onto this balcony and he sees that he's on what to him looks like an alien world. A woman approaches him, calling him Jor-El because she thinks he looks like her husband. She realizes, no, you're not Jor-El, but you look like him. You must be my son. And Clark kind of stammers for a second. And suddenly the woman, the Kryptonian woman claiming to be his mother, her face changes. It kind of blurs and gets all mixed up. And now suddenly he's staring into the face of Lana Lang.
Say hello to Lana Lang.
And he is on the ground in the middle of a field just outside his parents' house in Smallville. And Lana Lang is standing above him. Lana is, of course, very concerned for Clark. She had either been driving by the house or was coming over and saw Clark come charging out of the house and run across the field and collapse. And Clark, in return, is actually surprised to see her because, as far as he knew, she had left Smallville around the same time that he did and hasn't been back. And we learn here that the events of issue number one, or at least the bit in issue number one where Clark learns that he's adopted, they found him on a rocket that they assumed was shot into space by Russia or some other foreign country with a baby inside. And then Clark decides he's going to leave Smallville and go do his thing. That happened 10 years ago. So the events that are taking place here, if we look at the timeline, Clark graduates from high school. Well, we don't actually see him graduating. He plays in that football game, decides to leave Smallville, and then 7 years later, still in the same issue, issue number one, is when he comes back to Smallville to tell his parents about the deal with the space shuttle. And that's when they decide, let's make you a costume and you become Superman. So you, instead of doing all this good in secret, trying not to let anybody see you, now you can be more out and in the open. So 7 years after he left Smallville to help the world, he becomes Superman. Well, here in issue number six, it's 10 years after that day that he decides to leave Smallville. So it's 3 years after his debut as Superman. That's where we're at timeline-wise.
The Comic Book Show will return after these messages.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.
And now, back to the comic book show.
But that night, in issue number one, where he decides, you know, he finds out that he's adopted. He decides he's going to leave Smallville and go out and use his powers for good. The one bit that they left out, they visit here in this issue. We get a flashback showing that before he left, he actually went to see Lana Lang. Now, Lana was the girl he was with at the end of the football game, and they were going to go out to get a milkshake, and then apparently they were going to go to the Victory Sock Hop that night after they won their victory against Compton High, which I just noticed that after however many times I've read this series, I've just now noticed that the high school that they played against was called Compton High. They're in Kansas. There is a small town in Kansas called LeCompton, and that's where my grandma grew up. It's where my mom grew up. But anyway, I have to assume that is a reference of some sort to the small town of LeCompton, right? Right? I don't know. Did John Byrne know enough about Kansas to do that? Who knows? But that night, before he leaves, Clark goes to see Lana, and he shares his secret with Lana. So up to this point, we had assumed that the only people that knew that Clark was Superman were his parents. But we learn here that Lana Lang knows as well. And the one thing that she tells Clark as she is reminiscing with him about this night is that after he shares his deepest secret with him. So yeah, here's mistake number two. I said that after he shares his secret with him, when I should have said after he shares his secret with her. I make those kinds of mistakes often while podcasting. I mean, in episode 3, I kept saying Superman instead of Batman and vice versa. So yeah, those sorts of mistakes make me sad because it's just a reminder that I'm getting old and my mind is slipping.
That's so sad.
Anyway, I figured since I'm pointing out mistakes, I didn't want to let this one slide, so there you go. After he shares his secret with her. That's the correct way to say it. After he shares his deepest secret with him, he takes her home, says goodbye, and kisses her like a brother would kiss a sister. And then he was gone. Clark was gone. Gone from Smallville. And she did not like him much after that. He basically opened the door to this great wide world, said to her, who at this point was madly in love with Clark, he said to her, "This is who I am. You now know my secret. You now are closer to me than anyone else. And bye. I will see you in 10 years, basically, you know. And so she was very angry. She left Smallville as well to go out and, I don't know, find herself, I guess. And she mentions that when he made his debut 3 years ago as Superman, she was still very angry with him. And she contemplated outing him and letting everybody know who Superman was. But she's come to grips with what happened to her. She forgives Clark. She's glad that they're friends. She knows that Clark didn't mean to hurt her when he basically opened up to her and then left. And so she forgives him. Clark then, dressed as Superman, flies out to the spot where Jonathan had taken him 10 years ago to show where the rocket was buried in the field. He's got all these thoughts growing through his head about love, everything that people have said to him in this issue. Lana telling him that she knows that Clark told her what he told her out of love. Jonathan telling him that he is sweet on this Lois Lane girl. He even saying life's incomplete without someone like Lois. And Then there's a quote here. I'm not exactly sure who this comes from because it's got Lois Lane's face next to the quote. And Superman is thinking Lois right after the quote, which is, "You can never belong to one woman, Clark." I don't remember Lana saying that. I don't remember anybody saying that. But anyway. Okay, so wow. Now, this is just a stupid mistake because, well, I read the issue again last night. And I mean, that line.
"You can never belong to one woman, Clark. Superman belongs to the world."
Well, Lana Lang said it on the previous page, even. And here I am going,
"I'm not exactly sure who this quote comes from. It's got Lois Lane's face next to the quote. I don't remember Lana saying that. I don't remember anyone saying that."
Well, yeah, Lana said it, dumbass. And just one page earlier. I have no idea what I was thinking last year when I recorded that bit, but I obviously wasn't doing much in the way of thinking.
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
Anyway, let's get back to it. I don't remember Lana saying that. I don't remember anybody saying that. But anyway, he's now all, I don't know, he's kind of emo. He's had this encounter with this holographic ghost claiming to be his father. He somehow managed to mentally visit this otherworldly planet and met a woman claiming to be his mother. And so he is more interested. He just feels this need to find out exactly where he's from. And so he flies out to where his parents found the rocket 28 years ago. He pulls the big slab of wood off the hole and he finds that the rocket is gone. He starts to freak out a bit, but he calms himself and he uses his X-ray vision and his other senses. Or his microscopic vision and his other senses. What he actually says is, "My super senses reveal a large vehicle pulled up to this site within the last 6 months." But it looks like he's looking at the tire tracks. Maybe it's X-ray vision through the grass. I don't know. I don't know how his super senses would just know that these tire tracks were 6 months old. But as he's thinking about it, he's thinking he could backtrack, you know, follow this trail and backtrack it to whoever took the rocket and maybe get him some answers. And then suddenly this holographic image of Jor-El is back. He just says two words to Clark, "My son." Clark tells him to back off, that he wants some answers. And then Jor-El holds his hand out to him and some kind of weird energy field moves from Jor-El to Superman, causing a massive headache. Superman drops to his knees, cradling his head in his hands. He's getting, we don't see that he's getting this, but he's thinking in his head that his mind is exploding with a million alien images, everything slipping away, my mind, my humanity. And it's at this point that Jonathan and Martha pull up in the truck. Jonathan jumps out of the truck, sees his son on the ground and this ghost standing above him. He tells Martha to be ready to drive in case we need some help, grabs a shovel out of the back of the truck, runs up to the back of Jor-El and smacks him in the back of his holographic head with the shovel, which causes the holographic image not only to disappear in like this cloud of popping, fizzing, buzzing smoke, it also causes most of the shovel to disintegrate. Jonathan asks if his boy is okay, and Clark says he is. He realizes that the image of Jor-El was a hologram, but something that is more technologically advanced than anything they have on Earth. He feels that it was a recording of some kind and that the man called him his son. And then Clark slash Superman tells his Ma and Pa that he's got a lot jumbled inside his head right now. He's got to go away, somewhere away from the rest of the world so that he can think. He flies out into outer space. And as he is flying, he is thinking about his parents discovering him in the rocket, how their theory and his theory has always been that he was some sort of space program that. All right, so this is another stupid mistake, and it's there simply because I left out two words, and those words are part and of. And as he is flying, he is thinking about his parents discovering him in the rocket, how their theory and his theory has always been that he was part of some sort of space program. part of. Not that he was some sort of space program, but that he was part of some sort of space program. His theory has always been that he was some sort of space program that originated on Earth from some other foreign country, possibly Russia, and that as a baby, they placed him in this rocket, and that the Kents found him and raised him as their own.
Who would put a baby in a spaceship?
That's just my point. Could be Russian. A Sputnik baby.
Oh, really?
But now he is starting to acknowledge the fact that he may not be from Earth. And as he is, as he's starting to slowly come to accept that fact, all this information suddenly just starts flowing through his head. Like whatever Jor-El had done to him, he had provided him with almost like a complete history of Krypton. We don't quite get that yet, but Jor-El basically, whatever he had done in that instant, explained everything to Clark, but Clark had some kind of mental block there for a moment that wasn't allowing it to go through. Just this massive amount of data that was placed into his head in an instant. But the more he starts to come to accept all of this information bit by bit, more of it starts opening up to him. And eventually he realizes that he is not from Earth. He was conceived on this planet called Krypton, and that he is the sole survivor, that the planet Krypton exploded, and he's the only one to survive. And for 28 years, he's lived his life as an Earthman, as a human being. But the reason why he has these powers is because his origin is secretly alien.
The Comic Book Show will return after these messages.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Oh me, oh my. Whatever am I gonna do now?
Well, what's wrong there, friend?
Well, it's my comic books. I have so many of them, and they aren't worth a dime.
Well, that ain't nothing to fret over. One call to CVT will solve your problem.
CVT? What is that?
Not what, friend. Who? CVT is the Comics Value Team.
The Comics Value Team?
Well, that's right, friend. For just a small monthly fee, CVT will not only tell you the value of your comics, well, they're going to make your comics valuable.
But how can they do that? The man at the comic book store said that my collection was worthless.
Well, that's simple, friend. After cataloging your collection, CVT's value enhancement experts will seek out other copies of the same issues you own and eliminate them, making your collection all the more valuable.
Eliminate them? But how?
Space-age technology, friend, that's how. Why, with their patent-pending fleet of mobile incineration units, comic book stores will be lining up to buy your collection.
Hey, now that's neat.
Which sure is, friend.
Thanks for the advice, stranger. I'm gonna call CVT right now.
The Comics Value Team, turning your average comic book collection into a potential gold mine.
The methods used by the Comics Value Team are not considered legal in all of the 50 United States, except for maybe some areas of Florida and Texas.
And now, back to the comic book show.
So he flies back down to Earth. He's out in the middle of, I don't know, it looks like the tundra, the Arctic tundra. We get this last page where it's supposed to look like he's standing there in this iconic Superman pose. I tell you what, this is not one of my favorite John Byrne Superman images. There's just something about it that, A, doesn't feel like John Byrne. And I'm not a big fan of it. But in this last panel, he's thinking to himself, I may have been conceived out there in the endless depths of space, but I was born when the rocket opened on Earth. In America. I'll cherish always the memories Jor-El and Lara gave me, but only as curious mementos of a life that might have been. Krypton bred me, but it was Earth that gave me all I am, all that matters. It was Krypton that made me Superman, but it was Earth that makes me human. And that's how the 6-issue series ends. And I have to tell you, I think issue 6 was the big disappointment of this series, which is never a good thing when you can be enjoying the first 5 issues of a mini series and you get to that final one and you're like, what? That's it? Wah, wah. That's kind of how I felt at the end of it. There just I mean, there's this big reveal of something that we as a reader already knew, that he's from Krypton. We all knew that. It's the only person that didn't know that was Superman himself. And for him to learn that in this final issue is not a big deal for us as the reader, right? I don't know anybody who went into this series not know. I mean, good God, they tell you at the beginning of the story that he's from Krypton. We know that. He just doesn't. So for them to basically spend this entire issue to tell us two things. One, Lana was pissed off at him for 10 years, but she's not anymore.
Say hello to Lana Lang.
And two, he realizes and accepts the fact that he's from Krypton. However, while he accepts that fact, he accepts that he was made on Krypton, or that he, you know, he was conceived on Krypton, but he's still a human. He is an Earthling. He was raised on Earth in Kansas. He's gosh darn American.
As American as apple pie and the childhood obesity it leads to.
And I'll be interested to see exactly how it goes from here, because from what I understand, we are, you know, of course, we're in the 80s. We're in the era of Reagan in the White House, conservative values, greedy America, capitalism. That's what the 80s were all about.
It was a crazy time, the 80s.
And from what I've read recently, the Superman from this era, starting with this John Byrne run, was a very right-leaning Superman, which is a big change to how he ends up being sometime in the 2000s when he renounces his American citizenship. So, yeah, his political ideals depend on who's writing them, right? That's just the way these characters are. So, yeah, be interested to see how this sucker progresses. I mean, overall, I'm a fan of the miniseries. I'm just not happy with the way it ended. It just seems like a big letdown to me. And I don't understand how you can reboot Superman, starting with the 6-issue mini that's supposed to retell his origin and fully cement him in this new version of the DC universe, and end it on such a blah type of issue. I mean, I feel like really what we had going here with this 6 issues was that John Byrne just wanted to get into some new Superman stories. He wasn't really all that concerned with how Superman came to be before the main titles starts back up with Superman number one. Those are the stories he wanted to tell, but he had to tell this story first. So he just threw these 6 issues together and got him out of the way before he could do what he really wanted to do. But that was Man of Steel, issue number 6, kind of a big letdown. I don't really want to end this miniseries, the 6 episodes talking about this miniseries, on the same kind of letdown. But, you know, what are you going to do? Nothing. There's nothing you can do about that. It wasn't great. It wasn't crap, but it wasn't great. And for a reboot of Superman, it should have been much better. That last issue should have been much better than what it really is. And it should have had Lois Lane in it. It should have had freaking Lex Luthor in it. And neither one of them showed up in the issue. Big letdown. Okay, that's enough of that.
Oh my God, just stop. Stop. Just stop it.
You know, I contemplated just recording a brand new version of this episode.
New is always better.
I mean, all the stuff before the deep dive is new.
New is always better.
All this stuff from here to the end of the show is new, but everything in between is what, as I've said, I recorded last year. And
new is always better.
Not only did I make those 4 huge mistakes that I felt were so embarrassing that I just couldn't put the episode out there without saying something, well, then we get to this ending.
The Comic Book Show will return after these messages. And now, back to the Comic Book Show.
I mean, I guess I didn't think too much of this issue back then. And I don't know. I don't want to end the first season here on the Comic Book Show on such a downer. So when I reread this issue last night, I did so with the idea that, well, that I was going to keep an open mind and see what I could pull from this last issue that might make me change my mind. And, well, here's the thing. I'm still not a fan of the issue, not compared to the others in the series, which, you know, it's, I guess it's not a good thing. that the issue you like the least in the series is the one that closes it all out, right? And yet, that happens all the time.
All the time.
Take Stephen King, for example. Most of the complaints and criticism I hear about that dude has to do with his endings. How the story is so good until you get to the ending, which pales in comparison to what came before. And immediately I'm thinking of The Stand. Heck, I can also throw out a couple of TV shows as examples as well. How about Lost and How I Met Your Mother? Two great shows, two terrible endings.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
So yeah, it happens. That being said, I do think I have a better understanding of what they were trying to do here. And well, let's spend a little time talking about it.
My God, are you still talking?
Real quick, though, throughout this bit, as I talk about my feelings in regard to the final issue and the miniseries as a whole, I'm going to refer to the character as Superman. Regardless of which moment in his life that I may be talking about, it's just going to be easier for me to say Superman rather than Clark or Kal-El or whatever. All right?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, then. Let's get into it. First off, despite being a reboot of Superman, these six issues were not meant to tell one complete story or a single narrative that takes you from issue to issue until, with that final installment, everything is all wrapped up in a big blue bow.
Put a bow on it. Wrap it up.
Now, if you remember, I did say at some point that I did read these six issues back in 1986, but coming back to it over 30 years later, I honestly couldn't remember how it ended. So, I don't know. I guess I was expecting the end to wrap up the story, but that's not at all what we got. Instead, each one of these issues tells a complete story. Six tales that were meant to introduce the world to the new Superman and somewhat establish the rules and whatnot in this post-crisis DC universe. Issue one tells us where Superman came from, how he got his powers, and tells us why he puts on the costume.
It's a uniform.
I mean, from his birth to the last page when he puts on the suit for the first time, that is a span of 25 years. After that, the next five issues are like five vignettes that take place over the following 3 years and set up the various plot points that will play out within the pages of the three main titles.
And what are those?
Superman, Action Comics, and The Adventures of Superman. And it will start with Superman number one, which dropped 2 weeks after this final issue of The Man of Steel hit the shelves. Once I understood that, once I looked at this miniseries, not as its own thing, but as the lead-in to three main titles, well, I was able to appreciate it a bit more. It's still not my favorite of the six, but I'm no longer confused over why they ended The Man of Steel the way they did. And yeah, I can actually enjoy it for what it is.
It's like I was able to appreciate it on another level.
I didn't know you had another level.
With the first five issues, we not only get Superman's origin, but we meet the seven most important people in his life.
Magnificent Seven.
We meet his Kryptonian parents, Jor-El and Lara, who sent Superman to Earth.
You're on mute, Jor-El. Jor-El, you have to unmute yourself.
Derp, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay, we gotcha.
Okay.
We meet his Earth parents, Jonathan and Martha, who teach him right and wrong and instill in him the values that make him the single greatest superhero that ever lived.
Superman's bad. I mean, he was bad.
We meet Lois Lane, the woman he loves. We meet Batman, who teaches Superman that there's more than one way to fight crime and to do good. And finally, we meet Lex Luthor, Superman's greatest adversary, a man who has no superpowers whatsoever, but instead uses the billions he's earned in a life of crooked deals in his mission to kill Superman. A man who challenges Superman over and over and over.
Lex Luthor's keen mind, Lex Luthor's savvy, Lex Luthor's career guidance.
Each of these seven characters contribute in some fashion to making Superman, well, Superman. And then comes issue number 6, which has just one goal, and it's not to wrap everything up in a big blue bow. No, the goal of this issue is to establish once and for all two huge Superman concepts that made this version of the character much different than what came before. Up to this point, before the reset, Superman was a baby, a newborn on Krypton when the planet started falling apart. Jor-El placed his infant son in the rocket and fired it off into space as Krypton exploded. The rocket crashes in Kansas, the Kents find it, and find baby Superman aboard. They take the baby home, and they raise him as their own.
You will travel far, my little Kal-El. But we will never leave you, even in the face of our death.
With the reboot, Jor-El sent the gestation matrix into space so that when the Kents encountered the rocket, Superman is literally born into the world right before them, meaning that Superman, despite being of alien origin, is both born and raised on Earth, and that gives him even more of a connection to the planet that he calls home. That's concept number one, and it's as this issue ends that Superman, in his head, has this to say.
I may have been conceived out there in the endless depths of space, but I was born when the rocket opened on Earth, in America. I'll cherish always the memories Jor-El and Lara gave me, but only as curious mementos of a life that might have been. Krypton bred me, but it was Earth that gave me all I am, all that matters. It was Krypton that made me Superman, but it was Earth that makes me human.
And you know what? I really quite like that. With this last page, they're saying that, yeah, Krypton is a thing. It's part of what makes Superman Superman, but we aren't going to spend a lot of time with his alien heritage. Not really. Superman's alien origins are there to establish why Superman has superpowers. Beyond that, don't really worry about it.
I worry. One worries.
I don't know how long this lasts. I know that eventually the whole Kryptonian heritage thing is brought back into the books, like big time, but for now, back in 1986, as this new DC universe is taking its first steps, Superman doesn't spend a lot of time dwelling on where he came from. To further nail this idea in place, the second concept that's established in this issue is that Superman is the sole survivor of Krypton. In the Silver Age, there were Kryptonian survivors all over the place, but not here, not in this post-crisis universe. This helps to make Superman wholly unique in the DCU, which is also something I really like about this reboot. Again, I don't know how long this concept lasts because, you know, by the time I got back into Superman comics just before he died, all that stuff was back, which, you know what, I also actually really kind of like. I'm a bit wishy-washy that way.
The trouble with men is that they're all too wishy-washy.
Now, the stuff with Lana Lang...
Say hello to Lana Lang.
I don't know, I guess that's there to tell us that at the end of the day, Superman has more than just his parents to go to when he needs to talk to someone about the problems of living a double life and being super and all that stuff. Lana knows his secret as well, and yeah, she was pretty pissed off for a couple of years due to the way in which he told her his secret, but now, yeah, she's okay with it.
Oh, I can't stay mad at you.
I know that Lana has a big part to play in the main title and the Superman title at some point, and I'm sure that's why this whole bit was included, so that newer readers, maybe people who were not all that versed in Superman, people who jumped on board this title like me because it was new and it had John Byrne in it. You know, he's introducing them to a character that will show up again later in the books. I also liked how Superman is finally given the knowledge of his Kryptonian origins, that there was this super advanced computer program in the rocket that made this, I guess it's a hologram of Jor-El, who just touches Superman and he uploads the entire history of Krypton into his brain. And that the more Superman thinks about this Kryptonian stuff, the more he remembers, which is pretty much what he means there on the last page when he said,
I'll cherish always the memories Jor-El and Lara gave me.
Which is kind of funny because, yeah, Jor-El and Lara literally gave him those memories, just transferred them into his brain, kind of like I transfer episodes of my podcasts from my computer and onto a backup drive. So, yeah, I guess I did kind of like this issue. And now that I've read it again, I am pumped to get into the three main titles, because I'm sure I've talked about this already in one or more of the previous episodes, but I didn't get more than maybe a year into the John Byrne era of Superman before I just stopped reading them. And that only happened because, again, I can't remember if I've talked about this already, but I was reading them only because my older brother was buying them and he was letting me read them. So I don't know. I can only assume that the reason I stopped reading them was because he stopped buying them. But yeah, from about a year into the John Byrne stuff to the death of Superman, that's a great big hole in my Superman reading history. And I need to keep going. I need to keep reading. And maybe, just maybe, I'll get them all read before I die. Knock on wood, folks.
Knock, 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 knock.
For now, that's all I have to say about the Man of Steel issue number 6. And for now, that's all I have to say about Superman.
He's got nothing!
So I guess all that's left is to wrap it all up and put season 1 to bed. Good night, season 1. Sleep tight.
And that concludes our broadcast day.
Next, on season 2 of The Comic Book Show, I take a look at the 5 issues that make up the first story arc of one of my favorite comic book titles from back when I first started podcasting. A book that was published by Image Comics and was just recently announced will become an hour-long show over on Fox.
You guys know what he's talking about?
I don't think so.
I'm talking about Proof, folks. Created by writer Alex Grecian and artist Riley Rosmo, Proof introduces us to John Proof Proofrock, who happens to be a Bigfoot. But more than that, he wears a suit and works for a secret government organization where, teamed with ex-FBI Special Agent Ginger Brown, he hunts cryptids. And yeah, I really love this book. The first arc, as I said, is made up of 5 issues, which means 5 episodes, and it's called Goat Sucker. Stick around, folks. I'll be taking a short break before season 2 lands, but it's just going to get better and better here on The Comic Book Show. Bye.
I want to thank you for listening to this episode of The Comic Book Show. Questions and comments can be directed to thecomicbookshowpodcast@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. I also invite you to join our subscription program, Steven or Else Beyond. And in return, you'll have access to binge full seasons of The Comic Book Show all at once, early and ad-free. You can subscribe to Steven or Else Beyond through Apple Podcasts, Patreon, or Substack. Check out the link in your show notes, or just go to thecomicbookshowpodcast.com to choose the option that's best for you. The Comic Book Show is a presentation of Steven or Else Media. For more nerdy content hosted by me, check out StephenOrElse.com. The synopsis used in this episode comes from Mike's Amazing World of Comics at Mike'sAmazingWorld.com. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
As his parents watched in sadness, Kal-El left the ill-fated Krypton, bound for a new home. He would journey to a planet where his newfound powers could be utilized to fight evil and injustice. To a country where people would thrill to the very mention of his name. It was February 1938. Superman had arrived on Earth.
All right, so on the left side of the cover, Superman is literally born.
simpleton, yes, just a civilian. These little ladies, they be talking about super strength and heat vision. I ain't got any of them, so keep fishing. I ain't a brainiac from some dark place. She's more boardwalk, I'm more park place. Work just to keep them lights on in those dark days. LexCorp off the stroll, yeah, the job pays. Got no S on my chest plate, man. Only name on my shirt is my damn name tag. And people wanna know where I've been in the past. Clark, why you always disappearing in disaster? Just to reiterate, I ain't no Superman. I'm just a scaredy cat working for the weekend. It's the slowest lane, man, I gotta be insane. You don't even know my name, let me tell you who I am. License all bad, email sent. Working every day just to try to pay rent. I'm Clark Kent, I'm Clark Kent. I'm Clark Kent, babe, I'm Clark Kent. I got my license all bad, email sent. Working every day just to try to pay rent. I'm Clark Kent, I'm Clark Kent. I'm Clark Kent, babe, I'm Clark Kent. You ain't a Superman, more like a Clark Kent. You ain't a Superman, you're more like a Clark Kent. You ain't a Superman, you're more like a Clark Kent. You ain't a Superman, you're more like a Clark Kent. Baby, I ain't a Superman, I'm more Clark Kent. They call me Adam, where I'm from's good money spent. If time was money, is rhymes or something kinda like finding a 20 when you ain't got another cent. Know what I'm saying? I'm the Infinity Watcher, Nick Suat and hip hopper with a doctorate and rocking it. But just a regular guy, one pant leg at a time. Private school style with a public school mind. But still, I bring that boom when I swing right through with the dragon punch, literally.
Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah, look at what I do to ya, cruise for ya. Leaving every page torn, like my name is Natalie and Boolia. I'm just Clark Kent, drinking at the world's end. Kind of a dork, just ask my girlfriend. So be proud of your lackluster status. Regular guys, hands up, who's the raddest?
Glasses all bad, emails sent. Working every day just to try to pay rent. I'm Clark Kent, I'm Clark Kent. I'm Clark Kent, babe, I'm Clark Kent. I got my glasses all bad, emails sent. Working every day just to try to pay rent. I'm Clark Kent, I'm Clark Kent. I'm Clark Kent, babe, I'm Clark Kent.
You ain't a Superman, more like a
Clark Kent.
You ain't a Superman, you're more like a
Clark Kent.
You ain't a Superman, you're more like a
Clark Kent.
You ain't a Superman, you're more like a
Clark Kent.
Yeah. From Earth to Krypton, just put your hands up one time. Yeah.
Glasses all bad, emails sent. Working every day just to try to pay rent. I'm Clark Kent, I'm Clark Kent. I'm Clark Kent, babe, I'm Clark Kent. I got my glasses all bad, emails sent. Working every day just to try to pay rent. I'm Clark Kent, I'm Clark Kent. I'm Clark Kent, babe, I'm Clark Kent.
You ain't a Superman, more like a
Clark Kent.
You ain't a Superman, you're more like a
Clark Kent.
You ain't a Superman, you're more like a
Clark Kent.
I don't think I can move through life knowing that a guy named Steven did this to me.
Oh, but wait, there's Superman! He'll save us! Superman! Superman! Wait, 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 where are you going? Oh, to hell with him!
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.